Welcome to Theological Grazing.
Okay, so let's just talk about head coverings for a moment. I know this is everybody's favorite topic right now. And by everybody's, I mean, there's like a really niche group of people that this is really important to. This is a really big deal. But for the vast, vast majority of regular people, that nobody cares. it's the kind of thing that I think it's important to address, but anybody who's really up in arms one way or the other over this is probably, they're probably thinking about it a little bit too much. So there's one place in Scripture that speaks of head coverings for women. This is 1 Corinthians 11, that women are to wear a covering on their head, particularly in worship, as a sign of submission, as a sign of authority. Because of the angels, you know this text, because of the angels, Paul says, and there's a lot more to it. I'm not going to go into the exegesis of the text right now because it matters. It's important. It's a good thing to do. But what's happening right now, especially in the Reform world, especially amongst young Reformed, mostly men, sometimes women, is this kind of growth in popularity of saying that, like, this is a really big and important part of obedience. This is a really big deal. Now, most of this, I think, is basically reactionary. I think it's reacting against the cesspool that is marriage and gender relations because of feminism and other issues today, which makes sense to me. I'm not mocking this view. I think you can actually make the case for head coverings in a way that could be at least partially convincing. I don't think most people do. I don't think that I don't myself think that there is a biblical requirement that stands for all of time and all of cultures that women must cover their heads in church. I think that goes too far, and I don't even think that Paul argues that in 1 Corinthians 11, but I think that you could make that case. I think that you can try to make that case. But when I see the, generally speaking, the kinds of people that are making a big deal about head coverings, this is not everybody. In fact, I've had conversation with probably some of you who are listening to this, about this, where I have probably said, hey, you're the kind of person that I don't mind if you're interested in head coverings, right? You're the kind of person that I don't mind because you have a general submissive attitude toward authority. You're not just trying to be pushy and trying to pick the thing that will get the most people riled up. You're not doing it out of a kind of nasty spirit, which a lot of men and women today are. Actually, most of my experience with people that think head coverings are really important are people with pretty nasty, angry, unsubmissive spirits. When the whole point of it is a sign of authority and submission. And so you see the irony of that. You see the hypocrisy of it. But one of the things that I'm troubled by or I'm worried about when it comes to something like head coverings is that it is an easy kind of obedience. It is an easy obedience because it is a visible and obvious thing that immediately separates you from other people, and that in some ways could be a positive. That could be a positive. But when it is not tied to actual internal obedience, when it's not tied to actual an actual submissive spirit, a desire to truly humble yourself under Scripture, not just build yourself up in pride over other people, well, then it starts to get a little bit dangerous. You see, here's the problem. A lot of guys will say, well, look, it's what the Scripture says, so we have to do it. But I don't think that's why you're doing it. Because I've never once have I had a single young man come to me and say, we really need to start practicing the holy kiss. like greeting one another with a holy kiss. We need to start doing that in the church. I've never, ever had anybody come to me and say that we need to start practicing that. Okay, why not? Well, because generally we think, well, that's just, that was kind of a cultural way that they greeted one another. We have other ways of doing it. That's true. But there is more direct commands to practice that in the New Testament than there is for head coverings. There's more direct scriptural evidence that we're commanded to do that than there is for head coverings. And if it's a matter of easy and kind of first steps in obedience, showing yourself visibly to be submitted to the Lord, well, then this would be the right step. Now, I don't think we have to practice the holy kiss. I don't think that that's required of us. But that's because I don't read the scripture in that way. It's not to say that we can't learn something from it, but it is to say that there might be practices that were done in the New Testament era that are not binding forever. They might have some kind of truth within them that is binding, right? A moral principle that is binding, the general equity of the law of these passages may be binding still, but not every detail of the New Testament is exactly the way that things have to be forever. And I just think that a lot of that comes out of cultural issues as opposed to actually wanting to submit to Scripture. Now, you can argue culturally. You can say culturally it would be good for us to return to some kind of practice that very obviously differentiates men and women. And I would probably agree with you for most things when it comes to that, right? I mean, you know, I will gladly agree that we need better cultural practices that set apart men and women distinctly in their roles and callings from God. But I don't think that this is necessarily one of them. And I definitely don't think that most people arguing for it are doing so for biblical reasons. Well, that's all, folks. If you could help me out, rate and review this podcast, share it with a friend, go ahead and email me if you have any questions. We're out.